This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, do you know what it's really like right after Thanksgiving?
Sleepy.
Have you weighed yourself?
No.
That's the last thing anybody in America wants to do.
Yeah.
Is to weigh themselves this week.
See, this is not a good time to be, you know, doing things like that. We should be out, you know, focused on, like, giving to others or doing things like that. We shouldn't focus on ourselves. Not until January.
There you go. So we should let our bodies go and just live it up and, like you say, do all these other fun things and think about it next year.
Yeah. And then by about the time we get ourselves back down to where we should be, it'll time to do it all over again.
I love that. It's a heck of a theory. It's a good theory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A little give and take, a little tug of war within your own body shape and things like that. Yeah, why not?
Let me ask you, how many million turkeys reckon there were served on Thanksgiving Day?
25 million.
I would think that's a good estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good to me. And there was 50 million different recipes.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Everybody has a different way of doing it. If you watch the Food Channel long enough, and I'm pretty sure you do, everybody has all these different recipes. Ina Gardner's recipes for turkey are so different than, like, the lady on the ranch. What's her name?
Dee Drummond.
Yeah, yeah. And they've all got something different. And they're all neat, you know. We want to try them all because they all look very interesting. They all do some new twist to it, and it makes the turkey sound, ooh, that sounds like that would be really fancy, or that sounds like it would be very simple or smoky, or, you know, whatever the take is. They all sound really, really interesting.
A grandma would turn over in her grave.
Yeah, yeah.
She would not know about these new fancy ways to make a turkey.
Oh, no, no.
And the one that's the least, I would never do. They have a new one, you put mac and cheese on it.
Mac and cheese on the turkey?
On the turkey. It's too much for me. I don't want anybody to ruin my turkey.
Well, now, I've never heard of that before, and I'm not quite sure that that's maybe the best way to go.
I don't think it's the best way to go. I heard about it this week, and I go, I would not want to see that in living color.
No, I don't think. No. It's okay to have a little side of macaroni and cheese, but inside.
Oh, yeah, we love that. But I don't think on my turkey I want that.
No, I'm not so sure about that. Now, I have seen, like, some fast food restaurants will have a Thanksgiving type of sandwich sometimes, where they'll have some turkey and maybe some cranberry sauce and some kind of, like, dressing-like stuff or whatever. I don't know that I've seen them put mac and cheese in there, but I'm sure some of them maybe do. But I don't know that's really the way to go when you're cooking your feast.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't even think cranberry sauce in the middle of a sandwich is a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either, but I know a lot of people do it, and some people love it. It's not for me,
well,
but that's okay.
Yeah, I believe I'll go down the other road on that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Go down the other road.
Wow, life is so interesting every day.
I know, right? And then we had our Black Friday, and I know they've had deals for that for like the last week or so, trying to get a jump start, because I think it's because the holiday shopping season is so short this year. It's the shortest one we've seen in a very long time. And so Black Friday deals started a week or so ago, and now today is Small Business Saturday. And so there's all these things, and then on Monday you've got Cyber Monday, so it's just the shopping season is in full force now.
Well, and it should be. And what I've been reading about is all this list that they're providing. That is great. Electronic list, things I've never heard of in my life. I mean, there's things I didn't even know existed, and I love them.
Really?
And naturally, I'm the one that always wants to try all this, whether it works or not.
Yeah. Interesting.
I order this stuff and say, oh, I've got to have that.
Electronic lists, huh?
Yes. Do you have an Echo Dot?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh.
I'm dying for one. I've ordered one for Christmas for myself.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Oh, my gosh. When I read about the Echo Dot, I said, I've got to have it.
Yeah.
And naturally, I went on to Amazon and got one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it says it does all the, it'll play music if you want music while you're in the kitchen. It'll dial numbers for you. It'll turn things on and off.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, and recipes. It'll do your recipes for you.
Really?
I mean, this, yes, I didn't even know all that.
Oh.
I think it reads the recipe to you.
Really?
Now, in case I'm wrong, I don't have it yet, so I'm not real sure, but it sounded great. If that thing will sit there and read a recipe off to you while you're trying to think if this is right and that's right, that would be wonderful. Can you imagine?
Well, goodness, I didn't even know it could do that, but I'm going to have to go home and try that. I'll tell you, we ordered, because we order from Amazon a lot, and so she'll tell you, you know, there's a light around it when you have a message, and you say, Alexa, read our notifications, and then she will tell you what happened, and so she'll say, you know, Amazon notifications, package of large blue ink pens has been delivered. Well, we ordered something the other day, and it got there, and so we went through the process, and we said, okay, read the notifications, and she says, whatever it was, I forget what we ordered, blah, 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 package has been delivered. And then she comes back, and she says, oh, and by the way, during the holiday season, I won't tell you what's inside the packages if you prefer. And I'm like,
oh, my gosh, that's neat.
That is the weirdest, coolest
thing. That is so
neat. I'm like,
well, I didn't know you had one. But when I read about it on Amazon, I said, I've got to have this.
Yeah.
And everybody said, they're the only thing. You've got to program it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, oh, well, I'll take the time and get this done where I can use it.
Yeah. But once it's set up and programmed, oh, my goodness, it's so easy. And she'll tell you, now be careful, because, and I'm glad she said this thing about the holiday gifts, because she'll announce what's in the packages. So she'll say, your package of phone battery chargers has arrived. And it's like everybody and their brother in the room can hear. It's all out there for all God's children to hear. She said that she'll keep it quiet. I'm like, that's nice.
It is really nice, and they're inexpensive.
Yeah.
That would be a wonderful gift for people because they're like $45.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine who thought that up, but I wish it was me.
I know it. And do you know that Amazon is looking at robots that will walk down the street and deliver packages?
Wow.
Yeah. They are saying,
that's what I need, a robot showing up at my door.
Well, yeah. Well, a robot won't try to break in, I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
I like that idea. And he's probably polite, isn't he?
It's all in how you look at it. They're hoping that they have automated cars and automated robots to deliver packages, and their goal is within a couple years, maybe even next year or the year after, to have completely automated deliveries, and so that anybody anywhere can order anything on Amazon and have it in 30 minutes or less, which is shorter than pizza.
Well, I'll tell you another thing about Amazon. Now you can get same-day delivery.
Yes, that's exciting.
I didn't even know it till the other day. I ordered some that afternoon. They showed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, holy cow, I didn't know about that. Because usually, you know, it takes a week to get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can get same-day delivery.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it's a fast-paced world.
I'm sure you can. I don't think we can do that out here yet, but, you know.
Okay.
But in Dallas, in big cities, yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is cool. I mean, you order it that morning, that afternoon, it shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was so shocked, I didn't know what to think.
Now, I don't want to go there, but I have to. With that in mind, you can probably put your Christmas Day shopping off until the absolute last minute, and 30 minutes before a gathering, order something on Amazon, have it show up at the person's house, and say, I planned it all along.
I love that idea, too.
Yeah, that could be dangerous for
procrastination. But I thought of you, and I just, you know, that's the way I did it.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right there next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
I have a feeling you've probably spent a lot of hours over there, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah.
I have spent way too much time over there.
It's that time of year.
It's that time of year. We've got to do it.
Yeah. And we should
to force myself.
Yeah, I can see. It's a you really have to get focused here.
Yes, I mean, it's just, and my employees say, you've just got to get over there. Get over there.
Yeah.
And I finally go.
Yeah.
Finally do it.
Yeah, I can see. No, no, no. I can't go over and go shopping. No, no, no. They
no,
really
no,
had
to
twist
I don't want to go over there and just browse that store.
Yeah, I know.
And buy a lot of things.
You could live over there, I believe.
I probably could.
We should also mention your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and people can go there and they can see figures, they can see facts, they can see numbers, they can see the amounts of money that people have actually made, and these are real dollar bill amounts. They're not made up numbers, they're not guesses, they're actual numbers that people have made. So when people go see the website and they see the numbers and they see what they can make, does it come as a surprise to people? Do they say, Faye, I didn't realize that there was so much opportunity?
Well, I think they're shocked that how many policies came in early, you know, versus the ones that are late.
Mm-hmm.
And they like what the returns are. You know, they can go and see the returns. They can see how long it took to get that money. So I think it's good to have that on there. And, you know, we've been doing that for several years. We just put the initials by it and put down what they made and, you know, when the policy started and when it matured.
Hmm. When people come to see you for the first time, what's the biggest question they have? If they haven't been to the website and they don't know the potential, they don't know how it works, they don't realize that, you know, policies, like you say, come in early and then you get paid faster, you reinvest, and it just helps the whole cycle. What's one of the biggest things that people want to know when they come see you?
When do I get paid? Hmm. A lot of them don't quite understand when they get paid. So I explain it to them. When I say you get 1% a month, you get that at maturity. You don't get it, you know, every month or the end of the year. It's when the policy matures, we pay you right then. So a lot of people don't know that. So when I explain to them how it works is when the policy matures and the person has passed away, then that's when they get paid. And a lot of people don't realize that.
You know, I never thought about that. That is a really good question. You know,
it is a good question.
Because you always talk about how people get paid 1% a month, and they probably think, well, that's a monthly installment or a payment or whatever the case may be. I never realized that people actually thought it was a monthly thing. Neat.
That's exactly right. They do. And so when I say 1% a month, we need to always explain that is at maturity. So if it's a 24-month policy, you're going to get 24% at maturity.
Mm-hmm.
When the person passes away, then that money will be put in your account, and we'll do it again. We'll do a rollover and roll that into your account and do it again.
So it's a pretty streamlined process. You're rolling things over. So do people ever ask about, you know, does this, you know, help with taxes? Does their mind even think about that, or do they just... Is it off
well,
the radar?
Another question they ask, if they're rolling this over from a 401, they say, well, will I have to pay the taxes now? No. As long as you do a rollover and don't touch the money, the taxes will not be due now. If you let them make a check out to you and you cash it, the taxes are due right then.
Mm.
But most people, you know, their companies or whoever they're rolling it over from will say, you do want this rolled over to the other company. And we always have our people go and call these people and tell them it is a rollover, where it's going, or lots of time if they're in my office, we'll call right then and tell that company this is where we want the money to go to.
Okay.
So we keep it from being a taxable event.
Yeah, because this is all about making money, not paying money.
That's right. We don't want to pay taxes till we absolutely have to. And at 70 and a half is when you've got to do it. And the other thing that people do, we tell them and we tell them, remember, we have to keep enough money in your account for your RMD. That's your minimum distribution at 70 and a half every year. And I had someone not long ago that we had a maturity, he spent the money. And now he's saying, oh, I have to take that out. I go, where is your cash? You know? Mm-hmm. So you have to be smart and do it right.
All right. And you said 70 and a half is not until that's when people have to take it.
That's right. And if you don't, there's a big penalty, like 50%.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they say if you don't take your distribution, they're going to fine you. So we have a list of everybody that's due. We keep a list of everybody that's got to pay up. And we keep money in their accounts where that they can pay that at the end of the year. In fact, most people pay it the 1st of December. Some pay it November, but most people pay it the 1st of December.
All right. So people don't even have to worry about writing a check for you know, any of this. It's all accrued and it's all accounted for, and you make sure that's done on the front end.
No, you don't do it on the front end. You do it in December or November each year.
No, no, I mean, okay? you account for it. So it's in the account.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got it written down on everybody. This person is has already turned 70 and a half, or they're 72, and they've got to be taking their RMDs. Mm. So we know who they are. We've set the money aside. We do not let them invest all their money. That money has got to be there. I know on one account, I put a note on it. This account has got to have $20,000 at the end of every year. That's how much his RMD is going to be.
RMD is so, required minimum distribution?
That's right. Required minimum distribution. You have to take it every year. Once you start, someone asked me, well, do we have to take it forever? Yes, you do. Because you didn't pay tax on it, and the government wants their money before you die.
Yeah.
They're so afraid you're going to die and not pay.
They're very sensitive that way.
That's right. I mean, yeah, that's just one of those things.
So
government does want to get their money.
Yeah, at all costs. So when we're talking about retirement planning, we're not talking about just the building of the wealth and making sure that you've got enough money to retire. There's all these other things that people may not even think about, you know, the taxes and accruing for those, mapping all that out, you know, before people even get started. Here's how much you're going to need. Here's how much we're going to set aside. Here's how much we're going to have in an account ready to go. And that way you have all of this planned. Are there other things that people may not think about with, you know, these peripheral things that they should consider when planning for retirement? Other things like that.
Well, when they're planning for retirement, if they'll think about it, you can earn more if you're not paying tax on it. So you're going to gain a lot more money because you didn't pay tax on it for years. Mm-hmm. So that money will grow at a faster speed, okay?
All right.
So it's always better to grow your money tax-deferred. If you can grow it and defer the tax, it'll help you a lot. And so that's what we're trying to do on all these accounts. Most of our accounts are IRAs. Then we have some joint accounts. Now, in a joint account, a husband and wife have got to pay taxes on the year that they earn it. But it's capital gains. Capital gains is up to 20% plus, if you make over a certain amount, there's a little added tax of 3.4. So let's say 24% on a lot of capital gains. But that's still a lot better than paying regular tax of 37,
38%.
Wow. Yeah. So capital gains, long-term capital gains is a good thing. So long-term capital gains is right at 20%. Plus, if you're in a certain tax bracket, if your income's over 400 and something thousand, then the government adds another 3.4 to it.
Oh.
But without that, then it's just 20%.
Do most people understand all this going in? Or do you need to explain it? Or does it really not even matter to the investor?
Lots of times they'll ask what the taxes are,
okay.
How am I taxed on it. Then the others are more interested in how much can I make, when can I make it, and can I take it out? Lots of people want to say, well, if I needed the money, can I get to it? Yes, every time there's a maturity, you have money available. If you invested $100,000 and you made $24,000, that $124,000 goes back in your account If you need it, you can take it out. A lot of people say, I may need to take some interest out. They don't want to take their principal, but they may need some interest.
And that's
doable. A lot of people say, if I am not going to need it for 4 years, that's fine. It will accumulate, and it will, accumulate better.
Okay. When people, you know, start an investment like this, because we don't really talk about, you know, taxes and fees very often, are there other tax-related questions that they have, things that they should think about, things they should be aware of, or have we pretty
much
covered it?
I have several people this year that have inherited an IRA.
Mm.
If you inherit an IRA, then you're taxed either on the person that died, on their age, or you can take it on your life, which will save a lot of money, too.
Mm.
So a lot of people need to do it that way. But when you inherit a rollover of an IRA that your brother or your sister died and left you, then you have taxes on that, and you have to pay it. You can there's one way you can do it and pay it all in 5 years. There's other way you can just change it over to your age and do it that way. So they need to consult an accountant as to which way they want to do that. I had someone the other day said, well, why don't we just pay all the tax now? And I was scratching my head. I'm going, why in the world would you want to pay tax and pay more by doing that rather than, do it on your age group, and figure out how long you're going to live and pay it according to your age? So lots of times people have a misguided sense of what they should do.
Is that an accountant question, or is that something they should address with you?
It's both. In order to tell us which way they want to do it, they need to talk to their accountant and get his opinion. Do you want to tax it on the person that's dead, or do you want to tax it on your life?
Okay.
And it's complicated because the IRS has a lot of rules on inherited IRAs.
Mm.
So it's a little more complicated than on just minding your taxes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that about covers taxes, I guess. What about fees for the investment?
Okay. It's $250 a year for each account, which is very cheap. So I like that about Nevada Trust. It's $250 a year. So that's not hardly anything when we're talking about this much money in their accounts.
It really?
These are large accounts. They've got $300 to $1 million, in their account. And that's not very much.
No, that's not very much at all. You can hardly shake a stick at that.
That's right. And they give good service. They're a good company. Been in business a long time, about 28 years now, I believe. So they have a lot of experience in banking, and so they know what they're doing. And everybody always asks, why do you use Nevada Trust? Not everybody will do this because it's so much book work. Most banks don't want to spend this much time doing this many accounts. Like we've got over 300 accounts at one bank.
Wow.
And, so when you've got this many accounts, it takes a lot of work on them. And they're very good about when we need to change account. We had someone the other day that wanted to change one of his simple IRA to a Roth where he would never pay tax on it. So, there's just a lot to it. And they service our accounts well. They take care of us in a great way. And they handle so many things. And then we pay fees. And we pay higher fees, of course, than our customers do. But they act as trustee for us and the client. And so they do all these other things. They make sure the premiums are paid. When the policies come due, they get the certified death certificate and they send it in. And the money comes to them, and then they distribute it. Remember, we don't distribute your money. We don't take your money. The money is never paid to our companies. It's always paid to the bank.
The fact that you are dealing with such big companies and experts who know what they're doing, is that a concern, or is it just taken for granted by people who invest that it's not, this kind of money isn't being handled by some guy in a little tiny office in an alley someplace? We're talking about huge professional.
You've been seeing too many movies.
I've seen a lot of movies.
Yes. That's why we have the bank handle everything. We think it's better. We think it's safer for the customers and for us. It's a safety feature for both of us.
Okay. Do people understand that? Do they understand that, you know, hey, these are really respected companies, or are they concerned about that? Do people ever come in and say, Faye, who's handling all this? Or is that just...
Well, we tell them up front, immediately. Everything goes to Nevada Trust or to Bank of Utah.
Okay.
Bank of Utah is not as customer friendly. They're harder to deal with. It may take us 2 days to get a phone call. But it's not that way with Nevada Trust. I think the service is better at Nevada Trust. So both companies have been doing this a long time. So they're experienced. It's a trust account. These are all in the trust account department. So they know what they're doing, and I like that when it comes to my customers. I think it's the way to handle it. Always have the other somebody that's bonded, insured, handling the money for us.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal, you know? I mean, people...
It's a big deal.
Especially when we're talking about this kind of money. And so, you know, it's great. It sounds like you have so many securities on so many different levels, so many reassurances for people. Let's talk for a minute about the actual investment itself. So we're talking about life insurance policies, and this is an opportunity for people to come in and invest in a life insurance policy. And I know you have a lot of people who have been doing this with you for years and years and years, don't even think about it. They got on this train years ago. They've been making tons of money, but for some people it's a foreign concept, and they may have been in Wall Street for years and years and years, and so to invest in a life insurance policy, I'm guessing the one question they're going to ask first is, how in the world can I make money off a life insurance policy?
Yes, that's the first thing. How does this investment work is their exact words. How does it work? And then I explain to them that we use licensed providers, and they bring us these policies for us to bid on. We bid on. If we get the bid, then we send out the life expectancy report. We send out an email and say, would you like to invest in this particular policy? Then the clients come back and tell us, you know, if they want to invest in this. And if they do, you know, this is their opportunity to do that. And once they get the hang of it, you know, it's easy, and then they're calling us saying, I've had a maturity, when can I get in the next policy? They're anxious, and they don't want the money laying there. And then we have a group of people that they just take some forever to make a decision. And while they're thinking about it, we're closing the policy. So then they say, oh, no, we missed it. Faye, can we get in the next one? Yes. But, you know, all of our clients are out in the field all the time. So sometimes it's hard for them to get back to us and give us that yes or no, okay? So we call them and we email them both to make sure they've got the information and can make an intelligent decision, as I always say.
I know it's a fast-moving process here, but how long on average do people have to respond if they want in or not?
Usually 3 days.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad. And if it's over a weekend, then they've got till Monday morning. But usually if we're closing on a policy, the owner is anxious. We're anxious because, you know, we've got the client's money there, and we don't want it laying there, so we're anxious to get them in that policy. So we send them the information, and then we're, you know, in a hurry to hear from them, and after they've read everything, tell us what you think.
Okay.
So and sometimes they'll say, I'll let you know in the morning. That's perfect. That's fine. Or you know, I'll let you know tomorrow afternoon, whatever it is. We just want them to tell us, you know, that they're reading it, everything's fine.
Yeah. As long as they acknowledge they've gotten it and they're aware of it and they're, you know, somewhat engaging with it, because I mean, I would imagine you probably have people who are traveling, maybe they're in Europe or just plain old busy, don't check their email every day, and may miss things like that. And you can't really, I would assume, wait around for weeks on end for somebody to get back to you. You got to keep
moving. No, we can't do that. And we'll just go on. Let's say it's $50,000. We'll ask someone else to take their place and put their $50,000 in that place. And we do that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, we've got the one client that is at the now, what do I call that? The reducing place, I'll call it that. He's out in California. He went out in August. He's losing a lot of weight. He's lost over 60 pounds.
Wow.
And he's already invested in two policies while he's gone.
So people don't even have to be here.
No. I mean, he's out in California. His little dog, his little Jack Russell Terrier is with him. And, He's losing weight. He's exercising. He's going to get healthy.
The healthy farm. And, that's what we'll call it, the reducing place.
That's it. Yeah, the health farm. I couldn't think of what I was supposed to call it.
You were trying to be politically correct, I'm sure.
Yes, I was trying to be very politically correct. I didn't want to say the wrong thing.
Well,
yes, so he's at the health farm. He's lost a lot of weight. He saw it on television.
Really?
You know, everything's on television. He saw this man that had lost 160 pounds, I believe it was. And he called him. He talked to him. He said, I believe this is for me. He loaded up the little dog, and away they went.
Wow.
And signed in, and he's been there ever since.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, and so by Christmas, there's no telling what he will have lost.
Wow, that is amazing. Fantastic news.
Yeah, and he knew he had to do something. He had gotten where he was having trouble walking. His ankles were hurting. He said, you know, I did this myself. I'm going to get myself out of it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, how cool. That's inspirational.
And I was encouraging him every time I saw him. You've got to get something done. Because I was worried about his health. And, he finally did it. And, of course, his family's just like me. They said, we wanted to say something, but we didn't.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was saying something all the time.
Yeah.
And because I wanted him to live a long time.
Yeah, it was out of
concern.
And I know
that people, if they're really overweight, they will not live a long time.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, congratulations for him.
Yes. Yeah, so, as I was saying, he's been investing while he's gone and just wiring the money to his account.
So that kind of leads to another question. This investment does not take a lot of time out of people's lives because people are very, very busy, especially at this time of year, you know, between, you know, extra holiday shopping and traveling and visiting with family and friends and still working at the same time. So how much time does this actually, like, involve as far as in people investing, like, engaging in the investment? How much does it take?
Well, the most time it takes is the time you've got to read the email, make a decision, you know, decide what you want to do. Other than that, each time it's going to take, you know, maybe an hour each time to make up your mind whether you want to do this and how much money you want to put in it. And then to check on it occasionally. People like to check on it. We don't ever discuss that. They call, they send emails, how is my policy progressing? How? When do you think it'll come due? You know, if it goes over, then they're saying, how long do you think it'll go over? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of questions. Mm-hmm. When it comes in early, the question is, how long will it take for it to pay? You know, and we're sending them an email saying it'll pay in 6 to 8 weeks. So we're trying to get them the facts each time on each investment as to where it's at.
So do people find it different? Because when you say, you know, they check in, they want to know the status of it, I would imagine people are coming from a place of, you know, like Wall Street, where they're up all night every night trying to see if they have anything left in their portfolio. Is that where they're coming at this from?
That's right. A lot of them come from Wall Street. They haven't made any money in the last 2 or 3 years, so they come to us. Now, what I find amazing is every once in a while, they'll put some money back in Wall Street that they've just taken out. What is wrong here?
Why?
I don't know. I guarantee you, I just can't quite see it. Most people never do that, but I've had a couple of people that did. They get that fever. They get the fever thinking they're going to make a fortune.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was wondering. If they get that thing that they're going to hit the big one on Wall Street.
Yeah. And then they read all this stuff in Wall Street, you know, about all these people making money here and there. They hear what the big boys say,
yeah.
You know, like Warren Buffett. Even he lost on that one company. So, you know, it can happen to anybody. And they've forgotten about 2008.
Mm-hmm.
If they remembered that, they wouldn't do it.
Well,
they remember how much people lost and how long it took to get it back.
Yeah.
You know, 6 years is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
And to get your money back.
Some still haven't gotten back.
That's right. There's a few that still never did get their money back. And now they're working till they drop, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not a good thing. But making money is what we do for people, you know? We give them a good return. We're not going to make them wealthy overnight. We've never told anybody that. We would never say that. But it's just a good, sensible return.
Do people understand that this is part of a retirement plan? This is not an opportunity to come in and, as we were just saying, hit the big one because a life insurance policy pays out when the policy matures and then you move on to the next one. Do they understand this is part of a couple of years long strategy to retire, or are they looking for that quick one?
No, our people are not. Our people are very conservative. They're just looking for a good return on their money.
Okay.
So they're not looking for the good, the fast deal, a millionaire overnight. No, no. These people are just solid people, salt of the earth type people that just want to make a good return.
Yeah.
Solid. They want a solid return.
One step at a time. They're not looking to play leapfrog and skip many steps. I think a lot of people with a lot of things, whether it's making money or weight loss or whatever the case may be, a lot of people try to take that shortcut. They try to skip a couple of steps and kind of go for the big one, like as though they're making a big bet in Vegas or something like that. And that is not what this is about. It's about growing your money step by step over a few years to get ready for retirement. Once you get to retirement, you can keep going. On average, how many years should people plan on being in the program?
Well, I would think as long as they're healthy and they're young enough to take care of their own business, they should stay in it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you retire, go ahead. We can handle your money retired just like we could before you retired. It's just not a problem.
Cool. And that way people keep making money, because I think a lot of people think, okay, I've got to get ready for retirement. Once retirement gets there and that day comes where they walk out the door for the last time and then they're retired, and then I don't know if people necessarily plan after that. Maybe they do. I don't know. I know people talk about
getting ready. Well, they should. They should get it done before and then live it after they retire. Live it just like they planned.
Yeah.
You know, if everything works right, they're going to be all right.
Cool.
As long as they're not in some risky deals that can go down, they should have enough to retire on. And it should work out just about like they had planned, other than illnesses or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. People keep making money.
That's right. They should. You should always want to make money. If you don't, we should have you examined. it's in our blood to make money. I don't care who you are. That's the way us Americans were built.
Yeah.
We know that we're supposed to make money.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to lose it.
You got to have it to live these days. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. People can go there and find all kinds of information about the money that people have actually made. They can see it for themselves. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. And so what are we talking about today?
Well, we need to start talking about things for people to do for Christmas.
Wonderful.
You know, lots of people are already asking me, Faye, are you going to take a trip? Are you going to do this? You know, and so my deal is to bring you something that would be so much fun. A family could go and do it and just, really have a good time. Lone Star Christmas at the Gaylord.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. A person can load up. First of all, you got to make reservations. Get your reservations made for sometime in December. In fact, you can even go to January. This is going to be going on through January. They have 2 million lights. 2 million lights up, folks.
It's impressive. It's a lot of. I know people drive around, and now, a couple people have their lights out. You'll see a house here and a house there, and that's impressive. Multiply that by like a bajillion, and it's like being in the middle of a gigantic Christmas village. It's really cool.
It is. Now, then, the next thing, they're going to have a Charlie Brown Christmas on Ice. It's going to be wonderful for your kids.
Really?
Now, then. They have 2 million pounds of ice, folks.
That's a lot of ice.
I can't even imagine 2 million pounds.
Yeah.
They'll have ice skating. They've got gingerbread decorating. All kinds of pictures with Santa. Snow tubing. They have a Santa snow throw. They have breakfast with Charlie Brown.
Do they have pancakes?
Yes, they do.
All kids love pancakes.
I can testify to that. Yes, I can tell you about that. They've got everything in the world. Gaylord, Texas, and you know, it is now owned by Marriott. They bought it.
Really? I didn't know that.
They have. So now it's Marriott, in case they're calling about it. But they have a spa. They have two or three restaurants. They've got everything in the world. But I think to take your grandchildren, I know last year, remember, we read all those people that had been up there and the different opinions.
Yeah.
You know, and most of them were good. That one guy was unhappy. I don't remember what it was that made him unhappy. Oh, the traffic, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was mad about the traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't realize he's in one of the busiest places on earth,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They have a Build-A-Bear workshop, a gingerbread decorating. I mean, for a big family, this would be a fabulous thing to do.
Yeah, it really, and it's a tradition for a lot of people, because a lot of people go and they experience it. I know in the past they've had, like, the Grinch was the theme. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think, was last year, and this year is a Peanuts.
Yes.
And so, really, it's a family-friendly thing. And you go there and you see these things, and I don't know how they do it. I know they start, like, in July-ish, carving all this ice. I mean, it's not just something that they just whip together. But these people have so much talent. You know, you look at these sculptures in ice, and you think, wow, these people put so much work in it. It takes so much talent, and we all know that in a few weeks, it's just going to melt, and it's all going to be gone. Ugh.
That's right. And it's 9 degrees in there, by the way.
9 degrees.
It will be 9 degrees in there, and that's why they have you wear the heavy coats, because it's 9 degrees where you're watching this.
Yeah.
And, you know what, one year we had Thanksgiving over there, and
really?
They did not back up on prices for lunch. It was $65 a head.
Wow.
Yes, to have lunch with them.
Holy smokes.
So you people better, check your money before you go.
Yeah, check your wallet.
check your wallet. It's not cheap, but it's fun. And that's the main thing. It's fun for the whole family. And, you know, I know lots of people have gone besides myself, and it's a wonderful experience. You can take your children, your grandchildren, anybody, any age is going to love all these things to do with it's a family deal.
Yeah.
You know?
I know for us that once we started going, it's like it literally is a tradition you have to do every single year, regardless of what the theme is, you know, because it really is. I mean, if anybody loves Christmas, you've got to be a part of it. It's stepping into the holiday itself. It's becoming one with the entire holiday, as opposed to like looking at something, you know, from afar, or, you know, admiring something on the internet or in pictures or whatever the case is. You're actually physically in the middle of all of it. It's really, really cool.
And to get you really in the spirit is what it will do.
Yeah.
You know, you'll forget about everything in the world except this experience. That's why it's so much fun.
Yeah. It's Christmas magic.
It is Christmas magic. Nowhere in the world but at the Gaylord can you have this much fun and bring your family. You can just fly to Dallas, and you know the airport is just 5 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
DFW Airport, you know. One of the biggest in the world is just right there.
Yeah.
Or you can drive. And you can drive, bring family from different places, meet at the Gaylord. It's a wonderful experience, and everybody should do it, like I said, and you did. Once you have this experience, it's like other traditions. You don't want to stop doing it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. And that huge ice slide is a lot of fun. You would think that would be cold. Yeah, I mean, it's cold. It's, what did you say, 9 degrees in there? But
9 degrees in there.
Golly, where else are you going to get to slide down a big, huge, two-story ice slide? It's amazing.
Everything in there I found amazing that they can create it and do it year after year. I think it's... you know, the people from Oklahoma originally owned the Gaylord. You know, they owned the Oklahoma City paper, and they were very wealthy people. And I don't even, there's no telling how much that they got for the Gaylord, because it's such a wonderful place.
Yeah. And when they have these characters, like this year's a Charlie Brown Christmas, they have the characters, and they paint, I don't know if it's technically if it's paint or what it is, but somehow they're colorful. So the figures and all the statues are super, super colorful. And then they used to, and I don't know if they still do this or not, but you can go into another room on the ice tour, and they'll have like a manger scene, and they leave that just clear ice. And the way they've got the lights on it, it just sparkles, and it's just, it really is the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think it is. And I've just never seen anything like it. And every year they have improved. You know that?
Yeah.
And I just think the scavenger hunt, there's just so much to do with the family. You could spend a week there.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
And at least a week of fun and good food. And it's just wonderful. And of course, you know, Charlie Brown's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And Snoopy will be there. It'll just be a great Christmas. Things to do, and breakfast with Charlie Brown. I mean, now, and friends, that's going to be fun.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So and decorating gingerbread house. I mean, there's just so much fun for a kid and all of us kids. We're all kids at heart. And we need to be doing all these fun things.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that'll create memories for literally generations to come. Literally.
That's right. And you want to take pictures. You know, it's just something that your children and grandchildren will remember forever.
Yeah. And those pictures, I tell you what, we've been, and it's been a couple of years anyway that we went, but we took a bunch of pictures, and you would think that, you know, because it's kind of a dark room except for, you know, the lights on the actual ice sculptures, but you would think that they would come out all blurry and weird. I tell you what, I don't know if it's the way they've got them lit or what the deal is, but pictures come out amazing in those things, so you'll be able to go back and relive the whole time there. It's fascinating how they do the whole thing.
It really is, and it's just a wonderful place. So I wanted to start out with that's the first place they should, you know, people have asked me, well, what are you doing for Christmas? What are people doing? This should be their number one destination.
Have you been yet this year?
No, I haven't been yet this year, but I plan to go.
Nice.
I'm going to take my grandchildren. The first place my grandchildren are going is to Prestonwood Baptist Church. You know, remember that big, big production they did last year? We're going to go and see the angels. We're going to see the camels. And remember, what was it? They had a zebra.
Yeah, I remember that.
The zebra went to the manger.
Yes.
We don't want to miss any of that. Now, that's another family tradition of a big, huge production that is wonderful. And, you know, last year Santa Claus had this little sports car instead of reindeer there for a little bit, and they put it together on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, it broke down, and they had to go get the reindeer. So it's a good family tradition also. The music was wonderful. The animals were wonderful. The whole production is a great thing for families to see. And all in December, I try to do lots of family traditions, you know, year after year.
I feel like this is probably week number one of the Fag Bagby Christmas holiday tour.
That's right. The first thing will be Prestonwood, then it will be Gaylord, and then I don't remember what the other two things are, but there are two more.
Cool. Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Lots of great information. I love it. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to that wonderful place. Ivy Cottage, 3105 Big Spring.
Boy, they must love you.
They ought to, shouldn't they? And, you know, they listen to our show. They always hear me tout them, and they've always thanked me for that. And, you know, I've just loved this place, and we've never been paid a dime. They don't, you know, it's just we like the place and we go there.
Well, good, good. Speaking well of good people, and especially on a day like today where we have Small Business Saturday, it might be a good idea to maybe run to some of these small businesses and support those as opposed to some of the big box stores today.
Well, you know, and I am really in favor of small stores. Let me tell you something. I like to drive up to a small store and go right in. I'm not for the big box stores. I'm really not.
Oh, yeah.
you know, we have clients that own stores, and that's who people ought to shop with, is your local small-town merchants. Yeah. They need our business, and we should support them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they've been there 25, 30 years. Before the box stores ever showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and box stores have put a lot of local businesses out of business, and so that's why days like this are so important.
They are, and do you remember years ago, we all loved Walmart, but they would come into these small, little small towns and put the local auto place, White's Auto or whoever, they had all the little appliances and all these things, they'd put them out of business.
Yeah.
In 2 months, they'd be out of business. They'd been there 25 years. I know many, many stories of little small stores closing because Walmart came.
Yep, yep.
So I know it's progress. I know we have to have progress. It's kind of tough to swallow.
Yeah, so any small business that is still open and doing business these days should be commended for doing such a great job with all the competition that's out there. Congratulations.
There is a lot of competition out there. But if you can do a good job like bicycle shops, you know, they have some of the best bicycles in the world. You know, they have the high dollar ones, they have the medium, and then they have children's bikes. Every child needs a bike.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want us to get so sophisticated that the kids only know about electronic toys and don't know about bicycles.
Well,
you know,
there's a big difference when you go to like a big box store to buy a bike or you go to a bike shop because at the bike shop, there's a guy that will fit you in the right bike for you with what you're trying to do. Kind of like shoe stores used to be. Before we, you know, went to wherever to buy shoes, you know, you'd have a guy who would sit down on the little stool with the little angled thing, and then he would measure your foot and get you the right shoes. And so it's kind of the same thing with bike shops these days. The guy will help you.
Yeah. And that's all gone. Do you remember when everybody's child were Buster Brown?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Buster Brown. And then we had the little Stride Rite stores.
Mm-hmm.
And the last Stride Rite shoe I bought came apart.
Really?
They moved it, I think, to China.
Oh.
Because I love Stride Rite, and we've always bought the children and grandchildren those shoes.
Yeah.
And the last one I bought, it came apart, and I go, uh-oh, I think they've switched to China.
Uh-oh.
You know? Oh, wait, but I do love the mom-and-pop stores. We should support them. Small businesses are what made America.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. What if somebody does own a business? How does retirement change for a business owner as opposed to like an employee?
Well, it's a whole different ball game. The employer, you know, it doesn't have to wait till he retires to put money with us. He can put money with us at any time, and it'll work. I have several businesses that are with us. They just one day made up their mind they didn't want to be in the stock market. They brought their money to us. They've been there ever since, and it works for them. And when they get ready to retire, they're going to have quite a bit of money to retire on. More so than an employee. It's a whole different ball game. An employee can only invest out of his 401 when he's been there long enough that the employer says you can take some out, okay? Because otherwise they won't let you take any money out. So that's the difference. An employer is going to have a larger sum to invest. Their lump sum may be $500,000 or $1 million. While employees may be $250,000 to $300,000.
Yeah.
And so it makes a difference where you're coming from. And usually it's a joint account. If it's an owner of a business, it'll be a joint account. It's not going to be an IRA or, you know, a rollover.
Mm-hmm.
Because business owners usually don't have a 401k for their employees.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's a little bit different, you know, because being on that side of the fence, you're not necessarily I guess the business owner is on the front end. They're thinking of the whole thing a lot different coming from that angle than employee does. You know, an employee will go, they'll sign up for their 401k and go about their business. The owner, you know, is thinking about, okay, what kind of, you know, benefits are we going to offer people? You know, can we afford this and that and the other thing and whatever, you know, they may be doing. So it's a completely different thing. You have a completely different mindset when you look at, you know, finances when you're an owner as opposed to an employee. So when planning for retirement, what do people fear the most?
running out of money. That is the biggest fear. Running out of money is what scares everybody. They don't want to run out of money and have to go back to work or have to sell the house. That's always in the back of everybody's mind. You know, be conservative enough that they will not run out of money. Make sure this works for them. That's what everybody always wonders. That and their health. They're always afraid they'll have a health emergency that might take up a lot of their money. So they always have got that in the back of their mind. So thank goodness most of our people have group insurance that they keep when they do retire. And I recommend it highly that they keep that group insurance as long as possible. Now, some of them won't let you, once you're through, you're through. But a lot of the big oil companies will. They'll say, yes, you've got to pay the premiums now, but you can take it with you. So it's real important. They need group insurance because it covers so much.
Okay. And I know that, you know, before we wrap things up, we have to get to the risks of the life settlement opportunity, because we've talked about how wonderful it is. You know, it's a conservative investment. People don't have to be up all night wondering if they have anything left. People, you know, really, they just set it and forget it. It doesn't take a whole lot of engagement. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to do the investment. They do have to get started. But there are three major risks, and we always cover those every week. So what's the first one?
Okay, the first one is it could go over. That's your biggest risk in this whole investment. You might not get paid as soon as you thought. It might take an extra year. It might even go 2 years over. These things can happen, so you always have to be prepared. If you can't stand it going over, you shouldn't invest. A percentage are going to come in early. A percent will come in on time. Then there's a percent that will come in late. So you have to be prepared that it will average out okay. Everything will be all right. But it's going to, you know, some of them, as I said, will go over. Some of them will be on time. But you're still going to make the same amount of money. Doesn't matter if it's on time, if it's late, or if it's early, okay? You're still going to get paid. You'll always get your principal. You always get your interest back. Remember, it's coming out of a life insurance policy. And they're all, the other thing is, they're all A-rated companies.
Okay.
We've never invested in a B-rated company. Then the second risk is that it is not liquid during the time it's in the policy. Everybody understands that risk because you know that you just put your money, your share of that policy, and bought it. So you know until it matures, you don't get your money back. So when it matures, you get paid. That's when you get your money and your profit every time. The third risk is if a life insurance company ever went under. If one did, it would take you longer to get your money. We've never had a company go broke in Texas and people not get paid. Okay? The good thing about that is somebody's always standing in the wings and would buy one in a heartbeat if one came available because they have tremendous income. Their premium income is so tremendous, I can't even tell you how many jillions of dollars it is on an annual basis.
So they get all this money in, and it's basically just sitting there waiting to be paid out.
That's right. And then a lot of people drop their policies. Those that drop them, that's 100% profit.
Wow.
The people that drop them every year, they depend on like 7% dropping their policies where they don't have to pay off.
Really?
And if they do, yes. It's all written in their manuals. There's a certain percent that will drop them, and that's pure profit.
Wow.
And 7% is millions of dollars that they figure they've got that covered. That's profit that they'll never have to pay out.
I didn't realize it was such a high percentage.
It is a high percentage. But it's getting less all the time because people are learning about life settlements.
Mm-hmm.
They're learning that they can sell that policy now that they didn't want to go on paying on.
Mm.
Even if it's a term life, they can now sell it.
Yeah.
And years ago, you couldn't. There was no cash value. They're still in the cash value. But now, due to the life settlement business, they can sell it when they've got a major illness such as cancer, and that can come out ahead.
Cool. And that's where you come in, turning it into an opportunity for people to invest. So do you have availability to talk to people today, or not today, but this week? I know the Thanksgiving holiday schedule is a little weird.
That's right. We will be seeing people this week. Everything will be back to normal.
Okay. All right. Good deal. And Faye, one last time, what is your phone number for people to call you?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.